You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 24th, 2022, reminding you we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to our Rumble page. You'll see previous postings. You push the button for live. You join us in studio. Welcome. Miss any program, you can get it either from Rumble later and or our podcast at larryconnorsusa.com. It's so simple to find me, Larry Connors, USA. In fact, I'm thinking about getting a personalized plate for my Harley. So some of you enemies out there, if you're going to be looking for me, I'll be available. So the New York Post reporting, a story picked up by Just the News, confirming that the National Archives activist had sent a letter to the Trump attorney, Evan Corcoran, confirming, quote, a request from the Department of Justice supported by an FBI letterhead memorandum saying we need more access to the records. And Corcoran said, fine, we just need to have a little bit more time so the president can personally make any decision, the former president, to make any decision to assert a claim of constitutionality-based privilege. Now, here's the key that's inside those lines I just read you. She said, the National Archive executive, this was reaffirmed by President Biden and White House counsel. In other words, the White House knew about the raid on Trump Mar-a-Lago home. You had no doubt about it. I had no doubt. And they thought they were actually going to be able to keep it completely concealed all that time. They did a good job. The raid started at 6 that morning. Word didn't get out until almost 12 hours later. So they did a pretty good job of keeping the lid on it, but finally it broke. And it broke when Trump himself said he was in New York. Hey, the FBI's inside my house ransacking it, looking for stuff that I would have gladly given them. We were working out details. You tell me the reason. Was it really to find something or create more January 6th connection? Or was it really just to continue to smear him in advance of the midterms and any of his endorsements? If so, that failed because most of the candidates he endorsed won. Now, maybe they won because Democrats decided, you know what? Let's go ahead and vote for the Trump nominee, because then in the general election, we'll be able to defeat them. We're going to find out. Voters in Florida, New York, and Oklahoma voting yesterday in key primary runoff and special elections. In Florida, they selected Congress former governor and congressman now, Charlie Crist, Democrat, and State Ag Commissioner Nikki Fried to face off against the Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. Word coming out of the Pentagon, a strike overnight in eastern Syria, hitting 9 targets, 8 manned combat aircraft. They were going after members of the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps because these Iranian-backed groups have been going against U.S. forces. President Biden announcing today, yes, there will be a student loan handout plan that will give $10,000 off student debt per each student if you're making under $125,000 per year. Are you still working to pay your loan? Are you did already pay it? Are you paying for someone else? Sucks to be you, doesn't it? Should have waited for the handout. And outgoing, oh, by the way, back to Mar-a-Lago. I got to share this with you. Outgoing Senator Patrick Leahy said that former President Trump, quote, could end up being indicted for documents found in his Florida estate. I don't think he ever said word one about Hillary Clinton's information on her server, did he? Did he, Larry? No, he did not. Thanks for asking. New data from the CDC, if you're going to believe this one, says New York experienced the largest drop in life expectancy in the nation. Life expectancy for New Yorkers dropped by 3%. Is that based on age or whatever else is happening in New York? And then we have a former San Francisco official. Remember they were hiring people to pick up human waste on the streets of San Francisco? The guy tasked with cleaning up the filthy streets is going to be sentenced tomorrow for widespread corruption, bribes of money, lavish vacations, all while the citizens were suffering and workers were out there picking up human waste from the homeless. But he was living just fine, thank you.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race when the Fords and Lincolns were setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All of us knew that that didn't pass the smell test. Of course they were going to know that if the FBI and the DOJ are going to raid a former president's home, this is highly political. It's never happened before. And Joe Biden and his allies in the White House are, of course, going to sign off on it. So, again, I think this new revelation indicates, of course, he was involved. Of course, they knew. And again, you can't lie to the American people. I think this was a predicate to go in and search his whole house. And when you look at the breadth of the warrant, which we've discussed earlier, I mean, it was you can search everywhere for basically anything. In Trump's home. And so the way they did this tells me they were looking for something other than classified documents. This was about, you know, whether it was, you know, documents that Trump had that were going to go to his civil suit against the DNC, Hillary Clinton, and former FBI employees, or it could have gone to January 6th. But this was such a historic search. The breadth of the warrant made no sense just to go back and get some more documents that you say were classified when you could have done what you did in June. Why wouldn't you do that in August? Doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense. As he said in the beginning, it doesn't pass the smell test. Those are the words of Sean Duffy, former Republican congressman from Wisconsin. When he was on Fox News talking, he is a Fox contributor. I want to point that out. I always try to give you all details. I don't try to hide something from you. And he's on Fox when he's making those statements. And he's paid as a Fox contributor. But yeah, the whole thing about the raid at Mar-a-Lago never did pass the smell test. When they go in at 6 a.m. in the morning with 20 armed agents in the Mar-a-Lago looking for various documents, we're told originally, remember, well, the National Archives just think Trump packed up some things that should belong to them and he shouldn't take them with him. And then the speculation started. Maybe they had something to do with some nuclear plans or information. And then the speculation caught fire even more that maybe it's nuclear codes. You, with all due respect, my friend, if you believe that he walked out and had nuclear codes with him? You're an idiot. They change those codes constantly, and they certainly change them with a new administration coming in, and then change them again repeatedly. But beyond that point, Trump and his attorneys were already working on trying to come up with a way to get whatever they wanted in front of them, but they wanted a little bit more time, which brings us to what the story that broke by the New York Post, referring to just the news, that the White House Counsel's Office affirmed a request from the Department of Justice, supported by an FBI letterhead memorandum, asking that the FBI have access to the 15 boxes for review within 7 days. That was on April 11. April 11. Well in advance of the raid. And remember, back in June, agents did go to Mar-a-Lago. Trump was there and showed them around. They took a look at everything. They saw everything. Maybe they saw something that might fall under the purview of in plain sight to execute a search warrant. And sometimes you can add that to a search warrant while you're carrying out the search. Let me give the details of how it happens again. Let's say you're searching someone's house. You have reason to believe that they have the gun that was used to kill the person in a crime. But the person was also stabbed repeatedly. But that didn't kill them. But while searching under the court order for the weapon, the gun specifically, if they have a caliber from the bullets retrieved from the body, through the search warrant, they're there to search for that gun. Anything they else open up a cabinet and they find and it wasn't covered by the search warrant, they're not going to be able to bring in at that point. But while doing that, if they notice a knife on top of a bookcase and it's got blood on it and it's in plain view without them moving anything other than just walking in the room, then they can seize that as well and say it was in plain view. So these FBI agents that went through the Trump mansion months ago, I don't know what they saw in plain view. They thought, that, well, that's something we need to come back and look. They looked at the storage room where he kept all the boxes, the archives. He showed it to them. They advised him to put on a better lock or change the combination or something. And after they left, then the Secret Service took care of it and actually changed the lock again. And then they actually get the warrant from Judge Reinhardt, August 5. Now, I told you April 11 is when the archivist had confirmed that the White House Counsel Office, in a request affirmed by the Department of Justice, supported on FBI letterhead memorandum, that they had right to those boxes within 7 days, and Trump and his attorneys were working it out. That was April. Then August 5, finally, the Department of Justice applies for a search warrant and still don't carry out the raid until 3 days later. When they do, they see something like less than 30 boxes of materials, apparently 11 sets of classified documents labeled top secret, secret or confidential. Whether or not Trump took them inadvertently or had already declassified them, or as his attorney said, we have a right to review them before we turn them over, because maybe he will want to declassify them. They weren't going to give him that chance to do that. But the White House press secretary on August 9 said, referenced Biden, what did the White House know and when? The answer was, Biden learned about it, Mr. President learned about it, really like all of us did. I'm sure maybe someone on his team flagged it for him, but he was not aware. Really. Again, the report in the New York Post saying that the archivist wrote, the counsel to the president has informed me that in light of the particular circumstances presented here, President Biden defers to my determination in consultation with the Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel. Of course he knew about it. The Assistant Attorney General in question, Christopher Schrader, confirmed to the Post in October last year and had also worked for the DOJ. And here it comes. You don't know how big it's going to get. He had previously worked in the DOJ and the Clinton and Obama administrations. Doesn't it all just fit neatly together? So when former Congressman Duffy says it didn't pass the smell test, that he didn't know. Then you got all these whistleblowers coming out from the FBI saying, listen, we want to let you know what's been going on inside here because we are good law-abiding FBI agents, and we're rotting from the head, basically. The leadership, that would include Christopher Wray, who sat there in front of the Senate testifying on the very day that he knew the next day the raid was going to be carried out at Mar-a-Lago. But it wasn't carried out until he left that hearing, went off on vacation, and Biden got the hell out of Washington, going down to Kiowa Island on a vacation, and most members of Congress were away to go campaigning. Then the raid was carried out. They try to hide so many things. It's much like when A.G. Merrick Garland was being basically told by the school board association that many schools have now walked away from. All these parents coming in here protesting in our board meetings about our curriculum. You know, we know what we should teach. We don't need them to tell us. Well, whatever you're teaching, let the parents know. No, we don't have to do that either. Well, there's where you have a break. And the parents were making it clear, I don't want CRT taught to my kids. I don't want you to teach them racial hatred or white privilege or basically that if you're one color or the other, you're less or more than. And I don't want transsexualism, things of that being passed along to my children, especially at younger grades as they have been. And for that reason, the National School Board Association got the Justice Department, Merrick Garland's office, involved, along with the help of the White House, to draft a letter and saying, you know, some of these parents, we need the FBI to watch over these meetings because there might be terrorists involved. And we might need to label some of these people showing up as terrorists. They're parents. And you will label them as terrorists because they're there protecting their kids. Then I want to play for you a clip that came yesterday as Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, was questioning one of those DOJ officials about how they were treating parents. Listen to this.
How many more parents has the Department of Justice investigated?
The Justice Department and the FBI investigate individuals who commit acts of violence or threats of violence.
I'm talking in relative to the school board issue. How many more parents have you investigated? We know of 20-some, over two dozen, because, again, we've had other whistleblowers come forward and tell us about that. I mean, the number, it's almost like it's a well-worn trail of FBI agents coming as whistleblowers to our office because so many things that they're concerned about going on at the Justice Department. So we know of over two dozen. I want to know how many more have you done since we sent that letter 2 months ago to the Justice Department?
So we don't investigate anyone based on their status as a parent or not a parent. We would investigate and prosecute.
You would investigate them based on the threat tag, EDU officials, the designation. How many more than the 20-some we know about already, how many more have been investigated because they have that threat tag associated with their name?
I don't believe that anyone's been investigated because they have a threat tag, and I can't speak to that.
How else are you going
to
identify them? That was the FBI memo, threat tag on their name, EDU officials, and they've been investigated. And again, we know of over two dozen of them.
Yeah. I don't have specific information about that.
Yeah, of course I don't. I don't know. You remember, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. They had these tags on parents at these school board meetings, and they were investigating them. But he said, well, I don't have the number. Jim Jordan did his best to pin him down, but you're not going to get these guys. I mean, you got – not until you – and, of course, you'd face perjury if you lied to there. So the best answer is, I don't know, I don't remember, or take the fifth. And it's going to continue because new school year – parents, if you're not involved in your kid's schooling, whatever age they're at, you need to be. And maybe what you need to do, and some schools will be interesting to find out how they react. May I suggest this? I've done it in the past when my kids were in school way before all this kind of stuff was being peddled around. I just wanted to be there to kind of see what was going on. Sit in the back as a monitor for especially the grade schools. They don't change classes, so I just sat there one day or one afternoon, kind of watching. Maybe my wife did the day or two later, and maybe I would do it again. Maybe that's what you need to do. You say, I want to sit in the back of the class and watch. Now I want to see if they want to kick you out for that. It's your child in there. You're not allowed to sit and watch your child being taught. You were doing it during COVID because they're watching it on Zoom. You were sitting there watching that maybe, or you had the right to do so, or could have. Speaking of schooling, of course, as we pointed out earlier, President Biden made good on his statement. I'm going to announce a student loan handout. If you have $10,000 worth of student debt and you make under $125,000 a year, we're going to forgive that. It ain't enough. There are already complaints. Chuckie Schumer saying we need $50,000. The NAACP says that's not right because more white people have money deducted than black people. Why is that? Because they have a different amount owed? Do they take more tougher courses? Or it's just that they let it pile up on the interest and they haven't tried to hit it at all? I don't know. But a lot of black people have paid off their debt. Will they get their money back? Will anybody get their money back, at least $10,000, if they paid that into their student debt? Take a note of this remark by Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Maine, asking about what do you say to people who paid off their loan debt and now had to bail out those who might make money because they can't do it? And her answer is, look, I'm not surprised at this being attacked because it is very, very popular among Democrats, independents, and even some Republicans. Why? Because I don't think there's anybody left in America who doesn't know someone who's struggling, and that's part of our country now to help out. So it's popular. It will create more economic activity. Give me a break. Stand by for the next segment.
Over the last several years, the rate of anti-Semitic incidents targeting Jews and Jewish institutions has risen dramatically.
Anti-Semitic incidents in the United States reached an all-time high last year.
What we're seeing today is sort of a perfect storm of anti-Semitism.
Now we have reached a critical moment. According to ADL's annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents, cases of anti-Jewish vandalism, harassment, and assault increased by 34% in 2021, the highest year on record since ADL began tracking in 1979.
How can the spread of anti-Semitism be combated in America? The advocates we spoke to say political leaders have to call it out more often.
We cannot let comments, words, phrases, insinuations that are anti-Semitic in nature, horrific anti-Semitic tropes, we cannot let those go unchecked as a society.
That was part of a special about anti-Semitism in America. Now, Sunday, CNN and NNN did do a special report, Rising Hate, American Semitism, Anti-Semitism in America. In the last hour, in case you missed it, I had on as a guest Rabbi Menken, who is managing director of the Coalition for Jewish Values, the largest rabbinic organization in the nation. And he said that was nothing more than a whitewash as they presented it. Now, by that he means specifically, CNN failed to speak with a single Orthodox rabbinic leader, whether from the Simon Wiesenthal Center or a rabbinic organization like ours, and hid from the audience the predominant cause of the current crisis. They relied inordinately upon Jonathan Greenblatt, a former Obama staffer who had taken the ADL in a highly partisan direction. And basically he said there was no mention to Congresswoman Omar, Rashid Tlaib, or even Louis Farrakhan for all their anti-Semitic remarks. They were putting it as much as they could upon Trump and white people. But that's not really the fact. Both Omar and Tlaib and Farrakhan are anti-Semitic, and they made that very clear in various remarks. What has underscored, what the, it did underscore, is that too many people consider if you're attacking Jews, you must be white, part of the Proud Boys and things of that nature. That, quote, people of color would not attack Jewish people. First of all, Jews are of various colors. They're not white. They're a variety of colors, especially from Israel. They're more dark-skinned than most white people you know. Might look more Latino to some. If you're going to do a documentary, if CNN is serious about trying to say we're going to go down the straight news path after we got rid of Tubin and we got rid of Brian Stelter, and we'll see if they're going to hold on to Don Lemon Fruitcake and Anderson Cottonmouth and Jim Acosta Acosting Acosta and the rest of the staff. You can't do a documentary and ignore those kinds of stories unless you want to slant it that way. And if you're slanting it with an intent, then you are guilty of incorrect, biased, unethical reporting. As if they care. By the way, I want to take one moment, and we're going to talk. We're going to go back to the time when Whoopi Goldberg made a statement recently that she said the Holocaust was not about race. Yes, it was, but we're going to relive that in a moment, based against what I just told you about the color of Jews and our Jew attackers. But I also got word, I'm not quite sure what to make of it, that says that I'm no longer on a particular, I don't know if you listen to us directly on KXEN 1010 or you're listening through another chain, but that we might have been removed from that. And I don't know why, but I will tell you, and I encourage you to push for this station anywhere and everywhere. Maybe it's time to move to another station. Get together letters and emails if you choose to do so. And push for us to be elsewhere. There is no other talk program such as this anywhere, anywhere. Coming up, Whoopi Goldberg and her whoops statement.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worthy of love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Then let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
On Monday's show, the host of ABC's The View inaccurately claimed the Holocaust was not related to race.
It's not about race. It's not about
what
race.
What is it about?
Because it's about man's inhumanity to man. That's what it's about.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Goldberg appearing to double down on the Colbert Show that night.
The American experience tends to be based on skin.
Yes. And so that is what race means to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about being a racist, I was saying, you can't call this racism. This was evil.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't based on the skin. You couldn't tell who was Jewish. Mm-hmm. They had to delve deeply to figure it out.
Then tweeting an apology, saying in part, the Jewish people around the world have always had my support, and that will never waver. I'm sorry for the hurt I have caused. And the next day, opening The View with this.
I said that the Holocaust wasn't about race. And it was instead about man's inhumanity to man. But it is indeed about race
because Hitler and the Nazis considered Jews to be an inferior race. Now, words matter, and mine are no exception. I regret my comments, as I said, and I stand corrected. I also stand with the Jewish people, as they know and y'all know, because I've always done that.
That is part of an ABC report on Whoopi Goldberg when she made her statement back in early this year that the Holocaust was not about race. And then you heard a clip of her appearing with on the Colbert Show, and he said, well, in America, the race is built upon skin color. And that's what she was trying to say. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's all skin color. How do you determine that? I mean, so here's what happens. And we've been down this road before, but I think it's worth reinforcing. And I refer you again to the interview we had in the last hour with Rabbi Menken, Managing Director of the Coalition for Jewish Values. If you missed that interview, I strongly encourage you to go back and pull that podcast and listen to it and share it with others. Because his point being is that race is not necessarily best based on skin color. And I have told you repeatedly, I don't care your skin color. You can be a racist if you think others, because they are not your skin color, are inferior. Or if because of their color, you think you are superior. That's a racist. You can be black, as they say, as the Ace of Spades. Or you can be white as a bright sun, and you can be a racist. This CNN report they did over the weekend on rising hate, anti-Semitism in America was focusing on whites. And they didn't bring up the Whoopi Goldberg thing here, that she didn't understand what anti-Semitism is when she said that the Holocaust was not about race. And then, of course, in her apologies, she quickly realized, oh, I misspoke. That was all it was about. And that's exactly right. Hitler was pushing qualities of race, that we are above, the others are inferior. And there were some people that passed for a while in Germany. They had somewhat of a Scandinavian look. They had maybe blue eyes and light hair, and so they were just automatically assumed to be German, unless someone did some digging in their background. Or the same thing that happens in the 50s and 40s, Jim Crow era, a thin-skinned black person, I need to correct that, a light-skinned black person might pass as white. What it says again is that hate is hate. And for her to make that kind of statement, that's just unbelievable. But the ADL CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, who did appear in this Sunday CNN special, Greenblatt again, by the way, is an Obama staffer, former Obama staffer. And according to Rabbi Menken, he has taken the ADL in a highly partisan direction. But he was doing an interview and was being asked about what Whoopi had done, and here's his response.
I mean, it's really important that people say what they mean and they mean what they say. And so, again, I think when she was talking yesterday about these issues, and I think she really, again, created a kind of confusion and hurt. Because the Holocaust was absolutely about race. It was a racialized anti-Semitism, Don. And again, that might not fit with the way that some people think about race, the way all of us as Americans have to confront it in this country, in this time, when black Americans are still dealing with the legacy of Jim Crow and enslavement and systemic oppression. And yet, race is a social construct. And it shows up differently in different societies. And so, again, if we look back to Germany, The Nazis believed that they were the master race and Jews were a subhuman race. And they
literally waged a war
of extermination against the Jewish people because of this belief in race. That's undeniable. It's what happened.
So that's Gordon Greenblatt appearing on Don Lemon Fruitcake's program. We're talking about early this year after Whoopi Goldberg's remarks. The reason I'm spending time on it again here is partly because of the CNN special ran the other day, and to reinforce the fact racism can exist anywhere, but it doesn't have to be identified as white versus black, and that if you're black, you can be a racist. One thing Greenblatt pointed out there to show how he's aligned himself when he said that blacks are still living with racism in a systemically racist nation, that's not true. This is not a systemically racist nation. If so, riddle me this. Why would WNBA star Griner want to come back to the U.S. of A. when she's in Russia? Why don't she just stay there? Let her out of prison, let her live her life over there. Would she be happy? And how many black Americans have had great opportunities because of this country? How many are trying to break in to get into the Congo? How many are trying to break in to get into North Korea or Communist China or Russia, for that matter, versus trying to enter this country? I told you previously, out in Vegas, I've had two or three different drivers that were either from Nigeria, Ghana, and they had been here long enough, they've become American citizens. They say they love this country. They have a true, they have more patriotism in their heart for this country than Griner did, the WNBA star, who would not even stand on the court if the National Pledge of Allegiance being said or the national anthem being played. So you can't just look at someone, determine if they're patriotic. You can't just look at someone, determine if they're Jewish, or for that matter, maybe even black, or yellow, or red, or white. Whoopi sees everything in race based upon color.
If the Klan is coming down the street,
mm-hmm.
and I'm standing with a Jewish friend, and neither one, well, I'm going to run. Mm. But if my friend decides not to run, they'll get passed by most times because you can't tell who's Jewish. You don't know. It's not something that people say, oh, that person is Jewish or this person is Jewish. And so that's what I was trying to explain.
How dangerous is the perspective that if you can't see someone's race on the outside, then they are safe from persecution? Do you think that that's dangerous?
We know that's dangerous, and it's flat out wrong. So a few things. The Nazi Nuremberg laws that regarded Jews as subhuman were based in part on the way that the laws about race existed in this country, that one drop of blood made a person Jewish, like they say one drop of blood made a person African-American or black in this country. So indeed, you can't see necessarily who is black or Jewish. This is a social construct. And let me say something else, Don. Let's dispel the myth that all Jews are white. There are millions of Jews of color. Jews who are black and who are brown, who are Asian, Jews of all hues. So just because someone presents as white or black doesn't mean you know their identity. And so I really think we just need to dispel this myth, you know, that the Holocaust was white-on-white crime. Give me a break. This was a racist, horrific act of brutality?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not based strictly on color of skin, nor is racism. And yes, you can be any color, any hue, and you can be a racist. Any race, any hue, and be anti-Semitic.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. or go to Rottler.com.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I touched on this subject a bit the other day, but let me give it more attention. And this is a kind of CRAP, not CRT, CRAP that is being shoveled into our schools and placed in front of our kids who can barely decide what they want to have for dinner, much less what they're going to wear that particular day. A psychologist you think would be trained better, unless they have an agenda in their head, which apparently this one does. A psychologist at the Boston Children's Hospital. First of all, they already at that hospital have a gender multi-specialty service. One doctor's admitted giving a 13-year-old cross-sex hormones, advocating that girls as young as 14 should be given gender-affirming mastectomies because the 14-year-old girl just doesn't feel comfortable in her body and thinks maybe I'm a boy. Is there any kid as an adolescent, you remember your years, maybe yours more recent than mine, but that you didn't have some doubts about you and your body and everything? And what we're doing now is enabling this trend to push children into it. It is as close to, well, all my friends are doing drugs, I guess I should try it. All my friends are smoking, I'll try. Well, they'll do that. Now, of course, the drugs, if you get hold of fentanyl, it'll kill you possibly. Most likely will. Smoking, yeah, that was a bad thing, still is. But it's not like removing a girl's breast who later realize that I was only 14. But this psychologist at the Boston Children's Hospital states a good portion of children, a good portion, know seemingly from the womb, they identify as transgender as soon as they can talk. That is BS. Where's the documentation? Oh, that would be involving science and facts, wouldn't it? There is no one that has any scientific evidence or fact that from the womb they know if they're a boy or a girl. And as soon as they can talk, they know that they're not the gender that they've been proclaimed. It doesn't even exist. But she says, I see at the clinic a variety of young children all the way down to ages 2 and 3. She tells parents you need to be supportive of your child's gender dysphoria. You might not understand. What boy has not put on mama's high heels and walked around the house? What boy, I'll be the one, I'll confess right here. I think something like 5 years old, I got hold of mom's nail polish and painted my toes red, my toenails. And I walked into the room in my shorts to show her, and she was having a coffee clutch with some other women visiting. And they all were kind of snickering and laughing, and she's trying to say, honey, maybe you should go take that off. I didn't know. Kids don't know. You just do stuff like that. Well, I just admitted something new. I don't think I've admitted in dozens of years. It's just between us, right? Just don't tell anyone else. But kids do that. A boy wants to try on a girl's dress. A girl wants to, you know, that normally nowadays, blue jeans, so forth, all out. I'm looking at a piece that the Washington Post put out that shames parents seeking help for their gender-confused child, shaming them. This was written by Casey Chalk for The Federalist. Said, a mom and dad had a 16-year-old several months ago declared she's non-binary, then insisting she be called by her new name, accused her own parents of dead-naming her by using her birth name. Then she had 4 different identities. And the shame game started because of all of her friends are all either bisexual, non-binary, trans, polyamorous, whatever. And with friends and influencers, they all decided that I must not be what I am. And parents looking for some kind of help and assistance, they got this remark and this advice from Washington Post. Time to stop throwing out lines to find an adult to shame your child into a hetero lifestyle. In other words, the writer for the Post says, I rarely give explicit advice in my columns, but the stakes are high for our LGBTQ plus children and teens. Parents, you need to accept it. They do. You trying to help your child re-identify and say what they are? That's not love and acceptance to treat children in ways that compound their confusion. Wake up and smell the double standards, basically, in the sense that she said, concerned parents should know there's a good time to affirm your core family values, but not if you're going against what the child belief is they happen to be. So parents should be ashamed of trying to make their child or have their child think this through before they cut your breast off. Would you give it some time and think it through more? Well, I talk to my friends. They think it's cool. That's not the issue. As long as I have this program, I will fight for this issue to protect our kids. I will fight for ending abortion unless in rare cases of rape, incest, and always if the mom's life is in danger. So I thank you for supporting it. I want you to support my sponsors that keep us on the air. We might be at a verge here right now that we might have to change stations. I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I try to stay out of that. I just come in and give you the very best program I can each and every day. If you like it, thank you. Maybe we need to start some kind of, there are a couple stations in town that are still, that like my product. They just don't have space, but they could make space. I like where I am right now, but if things are going to change and they're out of my control, I appreciate your support. And aside from me, let's focus on what's really important. Our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.